climbing the walls, but the walls are too high. Do you fall to the ground when you reach for the sky? Does the picture you have in your mind never turn out right? Do the things that you do leave a hole in your soul? Is the best you can do always short of the goal? And the way it's supposed to be just skin. Have you had quite enough of the state that you're in? Are you living in style that you find that it leaves you cold? And the years of your life are just slipping away. There is nothing to feel, you have nothing to say, but the emptiness in your heart is getting old. Hard to believe it. Somehow you got to receive
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, October 23rd, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live over a radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If you would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books, Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We are in, let's see, let me get this over. We are in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I believe. Let me find the Bible here. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 7. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God.
Okay, Jan, do we have any announcements or do we have any questions?
We have a bunch of questions and we have one announcement.
Okay.
I'm sure probably most of our listeners are aware that the Premier of Police State by Dinshaw D'Souza with Dan Bongino opened this afternoon, probably at around 4 o'clock in theaters locally here. It will be shown on October 23rd, which we're all going to miss, and also again on the 25th. I think the times here were 4:10 and 7 in the evening. You can watch the trailer if you like. The link is in the newsletter. If you want to just jot it down, it's https://, like everyone, and then policestatefilm.net. No spaces anywhere. policestatefilm.net. And you can watch the trailer there, and you can get theater tickets there. They're not available anywhere but on the website. If, as Dinesh said, Police State is a movie that I never wanted to make, because I never wanted America to get to a point where a movie like this needed to be made. He said, I feel like the animal that alerts the herd to approaching danger so we can take precautionary steps before it's too late. Now, if you can't make it to a theater, there are not that many. I think I had two choices. One was about an hour away. The other is about an hour and a half away. You can also live stream it on Friday of this week at 5 p.m. Pacific, I think it is. So if you're at all interested, I would recommend that you make an effort to see it. If you can't see it, hit the live stream. Okay.
Where would that live stream be? Would we find that at policestatefilm.net, do you think?
To get the live stream, you have to go to the website, same website, and in the top right, you will find a little clicker for the live stream.
So are they charging for it? Is there a charge for that? Do you know?
I can't understand you tonight, John. Can you say it again?
Yeah, is there a charge for the live stream, do you know?
Yes, I believe so. I didn't click it, but I assume that they would. Most of these movies are set up so that they charge something less for the live stream than going to...
This one's charging more. It was $20 for the live stream.
Well, it's $20 for the theater tickets, too, plus $2.95.
I thought mine were $9.95, so maybe I got it backwards. My apologies.
No, I'm not sure, Terry, whether the live stream is 20, but the tickets in the theater are, plus a fee for handling them.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting because the theater opens like at 6:30, show starts at 7. You go in, you have to have your little copy of their little ink blot, and you show it to them, and they usher you in, and you know, there's nothing about buying tickets when you're there. It's all prepaid and everything. When you get done, they say it'd be nice to thank the theater for sponsoring them and showing the movie and move on. I would highly recommend you see it one way or the other. If you live stream it, you can share it with a number of people. Get a big bunch together and make some popcorn, and everybody can watch it.
Okay, thank you. All right, questions.
Okay, we have a bunch of them, John. The first one says, we keep hearing talks about reinstating the draft, whether it's real or not. Where in the Constitution does it force one to... should be to fight in a foreign war. This is not equivalent to the militia here at home, which is a duty.
Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying. In a maybe that's written more for our time than any other time. Of course, they didn't have the draft to fight the Revolutionary War, and it was all voluntary, and it was for a short period of time, if I recall. You sign up for 6 months at a time, and many people signed over and over again, or something approximately 6 months. I don't remember exactly. But that seems to ring a bell. If our nation is attacked, of course, you know, look at World War II. We had a situation where the people responded. Okay. All these other wars, you know, that we've been fighting since World War II, we've been involved in them one way or another. You know, our hand was in it, not we the people, but our government, our out-of-control government. And there's been something like 245 wars fought since World War II alone. And today, we're on the edge of World War II. World War II is here. It's already started. It's going to build and build and build and build, and it's going to get real, real ugly. And I would think, you know, first of all, that the people, if we are personally attacked, that's one thing. But if we step into the war, which looks like we're going to step into the war and we shouldn't be, because that's what's really going to tip it to the full-fledged World War II, if the United States steps into this thing. And at least that's my perspective. I think Gerard has some more information on that, and maybe in a little while he can share that. I know we were talking about Israel a little bit, and I don't know if anybody has listened to Estienon's latest reveal. And by the way, Terry, I don't know if you had a chance or anything to try to catch up on those reports.
I posted 64 today.
Okay. All right. And so it's pretty dangerous, pretty bad. There's a general out there. He's retired. He seems to be everywhere these days. I saw him in Valuetainment. I seen him. Just saw him today. And he came on a program with what's his name from that they threw off Fox. I can't think of his name. Does anybody remember? Anyway. He's been all over the place, and he doesn't have anything really settling to say, peacefully speaking, because we're in big trouble. No surprise to us that have been paying attention over the past years, though. We know what's going on, and it's not going to be the way people think it is, I don't believe, but in the beginning, it's going to get pretty scary, and it's a requirement, really. It's a necessity, because people just aren't responding, and it may take the war to make them finally respond and wake up out of this deep sleep that they seem to be in. But yeah, I agree. Drafting should not be a necessity. It should, I don't believe it. The Founding Fathers didn't require people to fight, so, you know, why should we require anyone to fight? If the people believe in the war, they'll fight. If they don't believe in the war, they're not going to fight. And that's that. And, of course, many wars, like I said, we have no business in. But anyway, we'll talk maybe a little more about that a little later. Next.
Okay, the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission threatens civil and criminal penalties for unpaid turnpike tolls. I can understand the civil jurisdiction aspect of it, but where can criminal punishment be justified since this is transportation and commercial activity from the vehicle code? How can one rebut this criminal jurisdiction in a court of law?
Well, we're not going to be able to deal with it again until after devolution plays. It's completely out. These tolls are totally unlawful, illegal. I can see putting a toll on a road that may be bred, but even there, I don't even see it. Look, they make enough money off the fuel. Every gallon of fuel you buy, and a truck is paid even much, much more than that, you know, as far as tax is concerned, So they got plenty of money coming in to cover road tax. And if they're off a couple of, you know, if they're off some money, raise the tax a couple of pennies here or there on the fuel. That's what I have to say. I know here in New York, we have the New York State Thruway. When it was originally built, they put tolls on it. Excuse me. And they said, well, we're only going to have it on until a certain time. I think it was sometime in the 1970s, late 1970s, if I recall. And then they moved it into the 80s. And then I think they even moved it into the 90s. And now they don't even talk about it. It's there. You're going to pay for forever. It's a moneymaker for the state. They don't need that much money. The more money they have, the more trouble they cause. So all that is just, you know, highway robbery. Next.
Okay. I need to file a UCC-1 finance statement. I do not know how. Are there lessons for that?
UCC-1 finance statement. I don't even know what that is, to be honest. Anybody know what that is?
I do not have a clue, John.
I think it might be the declaring that you're no longer a citizen stuff. I think that's what it is.
Universal commercial code. It has some validity in certain people, but people think it will get them out of the tax system and all that. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
If that's what you're using it for.
Well, anybody who signs up anything with the government, gives them your fingerprints, takes you know, gets rid of their citizenship, and goes through all kinds of other exercises and makes a demand, and all you're doing is notifying the enemy. These wackos in government that have taken control of our government, you're just notifying who you are. You'll be the first one they're going to come out after to get rid of because you're a problem. And, you know, that's my final thinking on that. And, I mean, I was hooked up into that, lost in that myself in the beginning in my ignorance, trying to figure things out and following people. You know, we used to go listen to these guys. They claimed to follow the law and practice the law, And I remember for the longest time, you know, Gerard and I were trying to figure out what the heck is the difference. They didn't even know what equity was. I didn't know what equity was then either. And they had all kinds of different thoughts on what it meant, you know. Gerard and I were trying to puzzle it out. And of course, we started doing research and we discovered what it is. And I don't know why they didn't. But this is the kind of thing that's going on. There's a lot of danger on the Internet with this sovereign citizen movement. And doing things that are not going to really be helpful to you or anyone else. And they seem to think, you know, you're going to do certain things, and then when they come out to get you, you know, you're going to click your heels and be transported into la-la land somewhere and be safe. It's not the way it works. These are evil people. They don't care. None of this works. And they may have put into their code certain things, certain things that they agreed upon when Congress was debating some of this evil stuff, and they were somewhat captured. I mean, like, let's take the SESCU accounts, for instance. That was a negotiation. Go try to collect on it. I know one person who did, who actually collected off. And he happened to be away one weekend, I don't know, business or whatever. And Sunday night, 3 o'clock in the morning, the feds broke down his door, terrorized his wife, his children, and his animal, and he wasn't there. It was 5 years ago, and I haven't heard back from him since. He's on the run. Why? Because he did execute and succeed in a SESQ account, achieving quite a bit of money. So again, you know, look, let's just follow the law. We have the common law. That's our guide. That's our protection. And ultimately, of course, God is our protection. That's where we need to sit and we need to work from, is the common law. And I'll tell you what, I do believe that they fear the common law. When you are able to articulate it well and bring it into the court and put the judge in a position and you're putting all this stuff in. Matter of fact, I have a very impressive paper, maybe I should probably share one Monday. We put together, it's about 5 pages. It's a response to a judge who wants to sanction the plaintiff. And again, you know, the way the whole paper was couched gave us an opportunity to lay our entire case on the court ready for an appeal. Not that we want to go to an appeal. We shouldn't have to go to appeal. We should exercise our right of certain writs, mandamuses, But they took that away from us too under Rule 60, just like they took the common law away from us under Rule 2 and brought us under civil law. And the Constitution's gone, the Bill of Rights gone, Declaration is gone because they don't believe in God, and, you know, that's not the law of the land. So that's where we're at. Those things are not going to be helpful anyway. All right, next question.
What are your thoughts on the Libertarian Party achieving major party status in Iowa?
Well, again, I don't want to discourage people from doing whatever they want to do, but if you want to ask my opinion on it, I think it's a waste of time. First of all, you're going up against the monster. I mean, you've got to go up against the Democratic and the Republican Party. They're huge, just to begin with. But the other thing, it's not the solution. The solution is not creating another party, which will only be taken over anyway. Every institution out there is taken over eventually one way or another. And NLA even strives to some degree to do its best to prevent itself from being taken over. You know, at this point, I don't think they can. But, you know, hey, in the future, who knows what could happen. But, of course, once they're gone, as long as the people stay in power and do the right thing and exercise their right of government by consent, by forming their committees of safety and taking control of their schools and their school boards and taking control town boards and village boards and the county and the federal government and all the legislators on the state level. And if you take control of them, well, then you don't have to worry about it because they won't be able to seize control anymore on anything. So it's up to the people whether that's going to happen or not at some point in time. Can you just briefly read that question again because I lost my train of thought where I was heading.
Okay, the next question, there's really five.
Oh, yeah, the party. Hold on, let me just finish on that, the party. That was the key thing, the party. Party is the worst enemy. You don't need a political party. No republic can survive political parties. It's an impossibility. It's like trying to put water and oil together. But they turned us into a democracy. They started that right away. The Federalists really worked their way as much as they can to become a democracy and opposed to a republic. It didn't happen, but they were in the gate from the very beginning. They were a constant problem. And by 1802 or 1803, Federalists morphed into the first political party, which was called the Democratic Party. And they haven't stopped since. The whole purpose of the Democrat Party is to change us into a democracy, and a democracy is just the first step in the preparation and the preparedness to become an oligarchy, which we've been an oligarchy for quite some time now, and now it's ready for socialism and enslavement of the world. That's where we're at. Okay, now we'll take the next question.
Okay, there are five questions, and they all want to know about HOA abuses. HOA is an acronym that is undefined in the question. So, do you know what HOA is?
No, I may be able to figure it out from the question, but go ahead.
The Homeowners Association.
Homeowners Association.
Okay. That's it. All right. What about it?
The first question is, and I'll just run them all together. How would one approach the county sheriff in regard to HOA abuses? The next would be, how would he approach the state legislature? The next would be, how would they approach the news media? The next one, the social media. And then how would one activate a grand jury in their county since the attorneys, judges, and prosecutors have sabotaged the system?
Well, look, it's not the sheriff's job to get involved in all those things. The sheriff's job is to uphold the law, no matter who is breaking it, and protect the individual. As far as an HOA for a homeowners association, that's an agreement you come into when you buy whatever it is you're buying. If you're buying a home within some kind of an area or you know, an apartment or whatever it is, okay? Well, you got a contract going there. And the only solution is a court of justice. The problem is, until after devolution, there is no court of justice. You may or may not get justice in a court in a battle. So, but if you signed up into it, you signed up into it. I don't know that that's anything necessarily wrong with that. you know, sometimes you put a place together, you know, this is kind of the idea, I think. It's also a money thing, too. But, you know, that maybe they're giving something to the people coming in and say, well, we'll protect the community, and this is what we're going to do, and this is who we are, and this is how we're going to run it. And at some point, the people will run it, maybe. I don't know if that's how it works, but I think it might be at some point. It's given up to the people to come together and make decisions. But there are certain things that the whole system was created on, ideas that I think are fixed, and it's very difficult to change if you can change it. But again, people are getting into a contract when they get into anything with a homeowners association. So that's that. That's my only knowledge of it. Next.
Okay, the next is the same, goes back to the same issues. And it says, can I get help from NLA on the what and how to's to wake up these treasonous traitors?
Well, support the work of NLA. We're trying to do that. You know, as far as the traders are concerned, look at they, whether they realize they lost or not, those who realize they lost, you know, you're not going to make any changes there. And those that haven't, you're not going to make any changes there, I don't think. They're fighting for their lives at this point, too. You're just not going to. It's the only, again, justice can only prevail. And we have courts of justice. We do not have courts. I haven't found one yet. I'm looking, been looking for, goodness, how long we've been doing this now? Since 2013, I think. So we've been looking for a court of justice since then, and we have not found one. So.
Okay. The last question is 4.5 pages of information and a question.
The juror?
I don't know what you want to do with that, John. It pertains to a couple that bought a house from the USDA. Things were going great for 15 years, and then USDA started increasing their escrow withholding.
Yeah, I don't have enough knowledge on those things anyway. And again, you know, there's just so much criminality going on out there. I don't know what to say. The only thing I could tell you is become highly educated in it, do a lot of research, dig down to its inceptions, understand how things really work, and study the law. If we provide a study in the law, you've got to provide the research and whatever your problem or situation is. So I don't have knowledge in that area anyway, so couldn't help. But I did receive a couple. Is that the last question?
Yes, that was the last question, John.
I did receive a couple of emails, and matter of fact, some of you guys, you might have received it too, Jan. I think one was sent to mail, MAIL, at National Liberty Alliance,
right.
And it's concerning the assembly, the jural assembly. It seems to come up often. It's probably come off in the past year or two. It's probably come up two or three times at least. It came up a lot more than three times. It came up recently, I think even in our course once, I don't remember, but it has come up on our Monday night programs at least a couple of times over the past month or two, probably the past month. Received a couple of letters. I don't know if it's the same people are focusing in on this. People seem to be really stuck on it. So I want to address this because this is a very serious problem and a situation. Let me ask before I go on to that. Terry, do you have the ability to download this as a video and then splice it at 2 points?
Splice a video at 2 points?
Just the MP3s.
I'm sorry. You talked over me. I didn't hear you.
Yeah. Do you have the ability to splice MP4s to extract from one point to another?
I'm not very good at it.
Okay. Well, if anybody has the ability, maybe they can help us out and let us know. Because I'd like to maybe extract what we're going to talk about, or maybe I'll just do a special presentation in the future and just put it up on Rumble and on our website.
Well, I can get more if you want.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I can give it a whirl if you want.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what happens. But you know, worst case is worst. You know, we can put it just in audio. It's always best with a video if possible.
Okay.
But I want to spend maybe 15 minutes, roughly speaking. I hope I could do it in less than 15 minutes, about the Jural Society. And some of the letters, I'm just going to read maybe a little portion here or there. Particularly, let's look at the Michigan Jurors Assembly. It's held to have had original property and properly settled covenant. You know, that sounds pretty, strong or something. A properly settled covenant. You know, I know of two covenants in the Bible, and I know one covenant in the United States called the Declaration of Independence. And I don't know what a covenant would mean. And it seems to be focusing in on the military and the UN. And we shouldn't have, common law doesn't require anything of the UN, nor does it require anything of the military. Of course, it's really the sheriffs that's supposed to apply the law and maintain. Unfortunately, they have no knowledge, and they're as ignorant as we the people are. And of course, some of us are getting educated, and there are some sheriffs that seem to be getting educated too now, but we don't have enough, because they themselves could have solved this problem a long time ago. It never could have gotten to the heights that it has gotten to. But anyway, this Jural Assembly, okay, and if we were to combine with them, we would improve our numbers significantly, is one of the thoughts or ideas. And I don't really want to improve our numbers significantly. We do have to get out to the masses. We're really looking for a few good people, people who are actually going to step up and do the job and take this nation back. And it's hard to find. You know, we have 11,000 people at this point that are members, and yet we only have like 163, I think, committees of safety in process. And some of them are still, a lot of them are still in their infancy, is my suspicion. We don't have enough leadership here that, as far as volunteers are concerned, for district coordinators, in order to make contact, direct contact with these people, to assist them a little along, give them a little push, hold their hand, and sort of feed them, give them the milk in order to be able to get up and start eating the meat and take control of their government from their grassroots. So we're not really looking for numbers. We're looking for people who are going to do something. But these people have good intentions. I don't think they look deep enough, you know. I got two letters here. And I don't think they look deep enough into what the Jural Society really is, because you're going to find out tonight a little bit about them, because we're going to look in the handbook. They do have a handbook, you know. But we'll talk as we get to that about the handbook. Okay, so Michigan settled the covenant in 2010. So whatever that means, I know you have a Jural Covenant of Office, and for some reason, I don't know what that means. You're joining some kind of an office. These people get involved in a lot of crazy things. Let me see, under our welcome tag, for instance, and I'm not going to read any of this stuff, I just want to look at it very quickly. We have disclaimers, and one of the problems we did have out here that we made disclaimers about was the Jural Assembly. Not particularly directly the name of the Jural Assembly, but with Anna von Ritz, and also with numerous other people, and they were filing hybrid papers and so on and so forth, and they were doing some very strange things. And I will tell you that some people have ended up in jail over this. I think it was a Colorado that went crazy with this stuff. Jan, do you remember? Let me take a look at my map. I think it was Colorado.
Yes, it was.
Colorado. Yeah, we had a group in Colorado. Back then in those days, we were trying to really push people to get more active and to get talking in the state level. I should have known better. I have experience in these things for quite a few years. I should have known better. You know, you got to find people who really understand what's going on or educated in the area and come out. But every one of these things, when they got involved with this, not that there was many, but there was a few. And we found people constantly going on to the man, you know, the man on the land stuff. Teaching things, doing exactly what we talked about just a little while ago, you know, and getting rid of, their driver's license, getting rid of their citizenship and their birth certificates, and social security numbers, and becoming all kinds of things, okay. And I don't know whether there was a combined thing, but also that's where Anna von Ritz came in and got them involved. And they wanted to do some, a lot of individuals, they wanted to do an indictment. They wanted NLA to do an indictment, okay? And they were going to go out and arrest these people and take them off the streets. They wanted to do an indictment. And they said, what are you going to do? You're going to lock them up in the basement of Denny's or something? I mean, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Well, anyway, that put us in a very serious situation because that becomes you know, really a crime to us, a crime that we would be involved in. And so we had to put out disclaimers. And so we've got about six disclaimers here. Two of them identify with Anna von Ritz. People are interested in that, you can read through it. I'm not going to go through it right now. It's available to anyone to take a look at. But it'll explain some of the problems. Now, Anna von Ritz, okay, let me see if I can open this up. Right one, anyway. Here's the Gerald Society Handbook. This is written by Anna von Ritz. Now, I've been told by some people that, you know, these Gerald societies don't agree with everything with Anna von Ritz. But that in itself creates chaos, insecurity, unsurety. You know, what do you believe? Where's the handbook? How do you bring these things together? How do we attach ourselves to them? And they have a totally different direction, which we're going to look at in a minute. They have a totally different view on what's going on and what our foundation is as a people, who we are as a people, who our founding fathers really were, and how this whole nation became to be. It builds nothing but chaos. You know, NLA has put together a plan, and it's not a plan that I invented. It's a plan of who we are as a people. It's what our founding fathers did. So we need to just mimic what they did. And I didn't invent the wheel here at all. Everything we do here at National Liberty Alliance has been researched out, and it's found in history. You know, I didn't create the committees of safety. Now, Anna von Ritz thinks that our founding fathers decided to come up with the committees of safety in order to deal with the problem with England. And of course, they were dealing with the problem with England through the committees of safety, and that's how our revolution got constructed, and all the problems were solved at the best of their ability, and they fought the war, and they created a nation. That's true. But this goes all the way back to the Pilgrims. This goes back to the first step onto the Americas. They came with committees of safety. I'm sure that, therefore, it goes all the way back to England. I only traced it back to the beginning of our colonies, you know, well, the beginning of the Pilgrims coming here. So it's been around for quite some time. So that's an error in thinking, and there's a lot of errors in thinking as you go through the handbook. Now, I started reading through this handbook, and, you know, some things I start to read, they bore me to tears. This is one of them. But I pushed through as much as I could. I breezed through a lot of stuff. Maybe someone else can breeze through some more and see once what they may find and add to or whatever. But here's some of the things that are different than from who we are, okay? Right here on page 1 of 209, and this is a Jural handbook, okay? Section 1 for all Jural assemblies. So this is the handbook. People of color and women may be welcomed by all Jural assemblies, but an updated election must occur to an open membership for all adult members of the community, with this one exception, that women may serve as proxies for their husbands upon the husband's grant of his agency to his wife. This basically means that she may act for a husband with his written consent in all matters stipulated as part of his grant of authority. I was really surprised to find that one. But that's in there. At this point, people of color can't participate. And women, you can participate, but you have no vote. I presume you can participate, to be honest with you. You know, we don't have a litmus test here. You got a beating heart. You're one of the people. You're welcomed. And that's how our founding fathers were. And that's how we are, and that's how we have to proceed. Okay, so that's one problem I found here. And as I went through this, I read Law and Religion. Some of this might have been contradictory, but I don't know. Our land and soil jurisdiction government is secular, not religious, per se for a reason. Our foundings were familiar with the evils of theocracies and the way that such brief systems try to thwart the greater and more universal principles of free will. So they very decidedly and purposefully cast the issues of religious belief out of the American government. Okay, now there's some truth in some of this, of course. They did understand the evil of the theocracies, and there was a lot of problems. I mean, Jefferson really found a lot of problems with priests and many different religions. But he was a child of God. He made his claim, "My Savior is Jesus Christ." I feel the same way. I don't follow a church. I follow Christ. I don't follow a man. I follow God, the Bible. But anyway, so there is a separation of church and state. That's not true. To allow the peace and provide for just treatment of all those living under this system. The basis of the American common law is the Ten Commandments, which are common to all three land-based religions in the West, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. This common ethical basic provides the heart of the common law, an ethical matrix that is common to and or acceptable to adherents to of all these major religions and most thinking people worldwide. And then she goes on, because of the separation of church and state, and again, there is no separation of church and state. Okay, that's Russia, by the way. It's not the United States of America. We do have, of course, the First Amendment, and the First Amendment, I'll read it. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. So you believe in anything you want. You want to worship the devil? There it is. Or forbidding of a free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. So you can believe in anything you want, and definitely if you're a Jew, you can join in and become someone that you would elect in government to represent you. It could be an atheist, anyone. They're all accepted. Of course, only thing we ask and command, unfortunately we don't enforce, that they obey the Constitution. If they obey the Constitution, no problem. But anyway, let me go on with this point because it's an important point that's being made. Because of the separation of church and state in this country and because of the common law doctrine, none of the land jurisdiction officers invoke God. And they do not require oaths of office. There is no oath of office. So you don't take an oath of office, nor is there a swearing in, I think you're going to find out. As far as if you're going to go in a court. But anyway, this will come to a big surprise to many people, but it is obvious enough upon reflection. The God of Israel is not the God of Judah. And the God of Judah is not the God of Islam. And by the way, the God of Israel is the God of Judah. And the God of Islam is not the God of Christianity. And the God of the sea is not the God of any of the others. So I felt forefathers who were familiar with this conundrum and generally disposed to taking the Bible seriously, did away with the oath taken for public offices. Well, that's not true to begin with, and they did take the Bible very seriously. I mean, you can't study our founding fathers without constantly coming up to Bible verses and different things that refer right back to the God, because ultimately it refers to the law. Our liberty is in the law. And so we call upon God in order to secure our liberty. And we read about that in the Declaration of Independence. So oath taken is a problem for these people. By comparison, the law of the sea functions by adages called maxims of law instead of by any simple and commonly accepted ethical precepts. The maxims attempt to establish practical standards of truth to commence. And these paradoxically result from the worship of Satan, the father of all lies. Now, I'm not even too sure what's really being said here, but bottom line is, maxims is an undeniable truth. But maxims, you'll find maxims throughout the entire Bible. That's what the Bible is made of, maxims, truths, undeniable. People can deny it, but, when you put logic to it, it cannot be denied. Bar members, here's a big one here. Bar members can function as counselors at law. As we restore our lawful as opposed to legal courts and begin to function as counselors in law, bar members can function as counselors at law. There is much to learn and remember. As far as NLA is concerned, we do have a plan to do something concerning bar. First of all, we have the original 13th Amendment, which barred bar lawyers from taking an office. And number one, National Liberty Alliance, though, we have a plan that as soon as we hit a certain point, we're going to be suing the federal judiciary and the Bar Association directly for treason. So we don't agree with that. We cannot combined with people that think like this. The Holy Cause, mentioned in his first inaugural address, was obviously an attempt conversion of Christianity. I may have misunderstood this. Let me go back. Okay, talking about FDR, I didn't research that. I was looking back to Washington. But there is a statement here where when Washington took an oath, he added on to it, "So help me God." And they thought that to be a little off. I disagree. And ever since, I think every president has ended up with their oath of office, "So help me God." If you're a Satan worshiper, you can just stay with FDR Place, you, and continue to act as a person obligated and function under international law of the sea. Again, I had misunderstood that, so that really, I have no comment on that. Let's see. It is the way the world court system has been organized for centuries, and just because 99% of the Americans are too ignorant to know that and have been deliberately kept too dumbed down to learn it does not make it less true and factual. And here he's talking, let's see what I'm pointing out as a topic of argument. Goodness, again, I forget what my point was there. But the big ones that I was concerned with ultimately is the removal of God, the removal of oaths. And here's the juror qualifications and membership. And again, I only came down a few pages. I just couldn't continue reading through this, and I don't have the time. But, you know, I found enough problems that immediately you tell me that you've got to remove God out of this whole thing, I'm out. We teach the different, the other side of that thing. We teach that, you know, first of all, the fact of the matter is that a jury, okay, is the bench of the king, the king's bench. And in America, when George Washington was offered the crown, he said, no. And so he refused the crown, of course, thankfully, and our founding fathers, of course, put together a proper nation. But the point was, it's got to be a king somewhere. Where's the king? Well, God is our king. We established that in the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence, again, is a covenant with God. To live under his rule and his law. And the benefits of that is liberty. That is the benefit of it. That is what we receive from God for that. And but we read here, here's the requirement to become one of the Jurals, assemblists. Proof of American nationality, okay. Recorded acknowledged acceptance of a conveyance of trade names. So you have to go get your name trade. And we spoke with some people about this a while ago and decided to have nothing to do with it. It just didn't sound right. It just didn't make any sense. And you don't need to go and somehow, I know they weren't incorporating it, but they were doing something and making it somehow official. I don't need to do that. I was born live with a beating heart, and that's that. That gives me standing anywhere I go. And so step one, required birth certificate or documents. So on the one hand, later on, they tell you to get rid of certificates, or at least a lot of the man on the land stuff gets rid of that, but then yet they're going to use that. So there are numerous steps in order to get through this whole process, and I'm not going to go through them. Some of them may be interesting and not necessarily so bad, but you know, step one, step two, step three, step four, you have to be a white male and a landowner, at least 21 years of age. That's the only thing that may make sense. Step five, okay, step five is quite big. Step six, step seven, I don't remember there's any more. That may be the end of that. So you got eight steps in order to participate and get yourself together and properly situated and get the right kind of standing. Again, I go back to I was born live and got a beating heart. I'm one of the people, and that's it. That's all anyone needs to know. I don't need to tell anybody anything. People recognize me as a person as I recognize them as a person, and we have unalienable rights that come from God. So anyway, I don't know that I really got much more than this. At this point, I just stopped because it just wasn't worthwhile. Those situations alone, shouldn't all state assembly members cancel their voter registrations? And the answer was yes. Okay. Again, another problem. we cannot marry to people like this. We do, look, we are National Liberty Alliance, okay? And our intention has always been to find groups that are, you know, compatible with us, at least on the major degrees, and work together. You know, we have the Republic Review that is attached with us. We support them. They support us. We have We the People, run by Robert Schultz, an organization that's been around for quite some time, has done some great work, got the Third Continental Congress going back in 2009, a lot of great stuff. We definitely connected with them, okay, so we have those two groups. We haven't directly connected with the Oaths and Bonds people, but we do support them and put information up on the website. I think one day we should try to make contact with them, try to work together a little closer, because we're compatible. You can't put oil and water together, so we're not compatible to these things. And anybody that is building the committees of safety here at National Liberty Alliance, if you want to join the General Assembly, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. And if you're involved with the committees of safety, just keep that away from there, because it doesn't fit. You know, you can do both. We don't care. But if you're going to bring it and start preaching it in there, we're going to ask you to leave for the benefit and the protection of the people of the committees of safety. We're trying to educate and bring them at a point where they can stand on their own feet and support themselves, legally speaking, from the standpoint of understanding the law, the Constitution. And if you don't know the law, and you don't know the Constitution, and the law, you can't know the Constitution without the law, but if you don't know the law and the Constitution, then you can't really have liberty, and you really can't tell when these people are breaking the law or breaking the Constitution, because you just don't know. And then there's nothing you could do about it. And that's the predicament we're in right now. Do you think they could have gotten away with all this if We the People had a proper education? They would have been hanging from whatever a long time ago. This never would have gotten to where it's at. Never. You see, you got to keep the slaves ignorant. You can't teach them to read and write. So they didn't want us to really read and write, at least not the real things. I think that was the last thing I looked at. I just want to take real quick, and then I want to just go real quickly to something else, which is a different perspective. Okay, so let's go to, where do we have this? Okay, Memorandum of Law. Now, this Memorandum of Law, you can find it, let's see, here under... Actually, it's on our front page. Let's see, click here. If you come down here, if you want to get a copy of this, you come down here to become, click here to read the writ mandamus to the United States Supreme Court. If you click on that, you'll be able to come to the page where you'll be able to now, you can listen to these papers being read. I think I've done this on PowerPoint. I don't remember where I've done this, but anyway, it's recorded. And... you also can download the papers and read them directly. It's 232 pages, but in here you're going to find a paper that we're going to breeze through real quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to spend time. Okay, and the one thing we want to look at is Memorandum of Law concerning Ingle versus Vitale, 1963. Okay, and you tell me whether you think our founding fathers were Christians or not. You tell me whether you think our founding fathers were not the sons of God, and you tell me whether you think that they were building a nation, one nation under God or not. Whether they agreed and believed that the Bible should be the centerpiece of our education, and without religion there is no morality has no power, no punch behind it. Okay. Our founding fathers put it a few different ways, but I'm just going to read a few highlighted things here, and this will be the end of what I have to say on this issue. Our founding fathers who wrote the First Amendment prayed together and built America upon 8 ancient principles derived from the Bible. Jefferson is clear on this. He's the man who wrote it. Our courts are founded upon common law, which is founded upon the Bible. Our founders believe that liberty is the blessing from God, founded in the Bible. They believe that the founding of America was of the providence of God. They established a court of law and a court of equity founded upon biblical principles. The rules of common law are under biblical principles. The king of our common law court is Jesus Christ, also known as Emmanuel, being interpreted as God with us. All the founding of our national law republic, the land of America, was looked upon by a majority as representing a new Jerusalem and a city upon a hill, and or a new Israel, drawing from 2 Samuel 7 verse 10, where God said, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more." America is about to be destroyed, but God is about to step in to fix that problem, of course, through people. You know, he uses nations to punish other nations. And but anyway, I'm not going to get too deep into that right now. Declaration of Independence. We declared separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle us. U.S. Constitution. Government is to secure the blessings of liberty. Pledge of Allegiance. We are one nation under God, individual, with liberty and justice for all. Article 3, Section 2. America's judicial system is under common law. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia proclaims Leviticus 26:10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. The inclusion of a prayer before the opening of each session of both houses and the Senate traces its origins back to the colonial period. Since then, all sessions of the Senate have been opened with a prayer, strongly affirming the Senate's faith in God as sovereign Lord of the nation. By convention, incoming presidents, like all elected officials, raise their right hand and place their left hand on the Bible while taking an oath. Okay, the Bible is our common law book, without which there is no common law. The jury is the king of the bench. You know, the hearts of men were different before Christ than they are after Christ. And it's clear to see when you read the Bible and you look at the Old Testament and you see the things that went on. I mean, almost heartless. But when you come into the New Testament, the idea of love is really placed above all. And he created in me a new heart, renew a right spirit in me. And he put the laws in the hearts. So we know the difference between right and wrong. And, you know, look what happened to Israel. And those people, they don't have the New Testament in the sense of the teachings of Christ. They don't have that at all. And yet that's how they can go into Israel and do what they did. To children, taking off heads and babies, burning them alive, unspeakable things. And the people who run our nation, I believe, are Satanists, and they do the most horrific things, at least what I've heard. We're going to find out whether that's true or not. I do believe we're going to find out it's true. So the Bible is our common law handbook, without which there is no common law. The jury is the king's bench, and it is to judge according to the king's justice, and the name of that king is Jesus Christ. And if the people are going to judge according to the precepts of God's Son and be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, industry, justice, kindness, charity towards our fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence towards Almighty God, we must know him. And we know him through his word, the Bible. The Declaration of Independence being the covenant with God, in which we would live under his law and thereby receive his blessings of liberty. And that includes everybody, both believers and non-believers. Therefore, we must teach every child his precepts through the Gospels. And for that reason, the Bible should be returned to our schools, as was the will of our founding fathers when in 1789 Congress and President George Washington passed and signed into law the United States Annotated Code, Article 3, which states, the very first act of Congress, the very first signature signed into law by a President of the United States, George Washington. And it says this: religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. George Washington said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor." Benjamin Rush, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "The great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion, never invented a more effective means of limiting Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible at schools." Clearly, our founding fathers who wrote the First Amendment believed that the First Amendment was not violated by prayer and the Bible in school, in Congress, and in public life, in opposition to our founders' resolve concerning America's acknowledgement of our Creator, the bar-controlled United States Supreme Court in the case of Engle versus Vitale, with no constitutional authority, and while ignoring Congress's first act in 1789, the United States annotated Colt, Article 3, and ruled that school-sponsored prayer in public school violated the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, which actually Congress shall make no law. This repugnant, so how can the United States Supreme Court make a law? This repugnant decision accomplished the removal of the Bible out of our schools in 1963. For 174 years, it was legal and constitutionally protected that the Bible was to be taught in American schools, and it is still the common law today. And by the way, if you have a school that's a Jewish school and they just want the Old Testament, that's fine. That's their business. You know, as far as public schools are concerned, the Bible is in the school. And as far as private schools were concerned, they get to decide whether it's in there or not, but I presumed it always had been. And in any event, again, quite different than what the assemblies want to do. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or forbidding the exercise thereof. Now, to read through this whole paper, people should read through this whole paper. This is a paper being filed in the United States Supreme Court. In conclusion of these matters, as long as we come to the Word with a bent knee, bringing God's words untainted by church doctrines of men, do good and seek justice, we will do well and should not fear the gospel taught in the schools. Which brings us to my reason for this memorandum. If we expect to receive the blessings of liberty through common law in our courts, we must teach it to our children and our children's children. We are on safe grounds as long as we do not privately interpret the Gospels. Read it for what it is. No one can deny that many of the founding fathers of the United States of America were men of deep religious convictions based in the Bible and their Christian faith in Jesus Christ. Of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, nearly half of them held a seminary or Bible school degree. The following Christian quotes of the founding fathers will give an overview of their strong moral and spiritual convictions, which helped form the foundation of our nation and our government. And if we do not teach our children that we are founded upon the Word of God, we will not be one nation under God as we pledge allegiance to the flag each day when we were in school. I don't know if they do that anymore. They have woke time, I guess. And it's pretty sad. It's a sick joke, but it needs to be made. Thomas Jefferson said, God who gave us life gave us liberty. These liberties are a gift of God. God is just. I am a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. How can anyone tell me that Jefferson is not a Christian? And if you go read his words and see his work, you know who he is. You could tell a man by his fruits. And again, I'm just pulling pieces out of these quotes. People should go back and read these entire quotes. This is George Washington said these things. We certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. Distinguished characters of Christian. Heaven itself has ordained, acknowledged a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States. Omnipotence of that God who alone able to protect them. Religious obligation. Little pieces of quotes I'm listening. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Forbid us to expect that nation morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. Virtue, morality, is a necessary spring of popular government. Benjamin Franklin's quotes, the worship of God is a duty. Only virtuous people are capable of freedom. God governs and he is good. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe. He ought to be worshipped, that the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to his other children. As to Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion as he left them to us is the best the world ever saw or likely to see. James Madison said, we have staked the future of all our political institution upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments. He said, before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject to the governor of the universe, religion, or the duty we owe to our Creator. John Adams said, suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience, to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow man, and to piety, love, and reverence towards Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be. And of course, this is what our founding fathers tried to set up, and we've lost that. We need to gain it back. We can do it. Maybe. The general principles on which our fathers achieved independence were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite, and these principles only could be intended by them in their address or by me in my answer. And what were these general principles? I answer, the general principles of Christianity. Adams, in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, now I will avow that I then believe and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence of the attributes of God. Adams, in a letter to his wife Abigail, it ought to be commemorated, I can't pronounce that, as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. John Hancock, resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with a proper sense of your dependence on God. Patrick Henry, it cannot be emphasized too strongly, too often, that the great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and the freedom to worship here. John Adams quotes, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate in governments of any other. Statesmen, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. The safety and prosperity of nations ultimately and essentially depend on the protection and blessing of Almighty God. Remember, God judges nations through other nations. George Mason or catastrophes. George Mason, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. Right? George Mason said it. Noah Webster, father of American scholarship and education, quotes, no truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of free people. In my view, Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident in my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. He goes on, the genuine source, the correct Republican principles is the Bible. The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. The preservation of a republican God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. So that's up to the people who make that decision. We haven't been making it too good, have we? So America was born when we the people discovered that rights come from the natures of God and decided it was high time for men to rise up to secure these rights at any cost, because it was the right thing to do, and that the governor of the universe is to rule our American courts. And we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, I'm sorry, this is James chapter 1, verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein is being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Declaration of Independence. The laws of nature's God and of God, nature's God entitle us. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. United States is the new Israel. Jefferson wanted to, for the seal. This is the seal that Jefferson wanted. He has a two-sided seal. Jefferson wanted an illustration of the Israelites' exodus out of slavery and bondage from Egypt for the front of his seal. Jefferson had a disdain for the institution of slavery, and he certainly did. He did everything he could to end it. Lincoln finished it. Franklin had a similar idea to Jefferson. He wanted to illustrate a scene from Exodus of the Israelites. The seal would show Benjamin Franklin's design for portraying Moses parting the Red Sea with Pharaoh and the chariots being overwhelmed by the waters with the motto, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Thomas Jefferson became so enamored with this motto, he incorporated it into his own personal seal design. And what did we end up with? We ended up with the pyramid and the eagle and all that stuff that has to do with the New World Order. So we wonder, we know what was going on. This is the beginning of our nation. It will be up to the people within their respective county committees of safety to restore prayer and the Bible in the schools. We must resist all denominational teaching of the Bible in the classroom. The Bible should be used as a history book concerning our king of a court, our heritage, our morals, and our law. God warned us in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let us therefore embrace and respond to 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And boy, do our land need healing. Or does our land need healing? Or if we reject God as king, he warned us in 1 Samuel 8, saying in an allegory, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before the chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will make the tenth of your seed, and he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyard, and give it to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliestness men and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. So we are on that cusp, by the way. We are on that edge. This is, the decision is where are we at? If my people call by my name, we're going to humble themselves and pray, or are we going to turn our nose and end up with a different king? And that's where I believe we're at anyway. But I want to say, the main purpose I brought this up is there is a huge difference between the assembled jural assemblies, and anybody who wants to deal with them, that's their business. We don't discourage anybody to do not. You do whatever you want. I don't care. NLA doesn't care. It's not our job to try to make people do something. We can only lay things out as we understand it and teach the best we can and hope that people will hear. But unfortunately, a lot of people are taken because they're drawn to it. You know, you look back in history. You want to know who these people are that rule us? Go read the prints. We have a copy of that up on the website. That's why it's there. Go read the prints, and you'll find out who's ruling over you. Because these are the people running our government. These are the people that are drawn to these powers, to these things. And we have a major problem. But we've had people, and I'm sure maybe even a lot of the people that are running committees of safety, they don't seem to be connecting with us. Shame on us for not getting enough people together to be able to connect with them to introduce us and woo them along. That's what we need to do. But they're developing committees of safety. And I don't know if they're even using our handbooks. If they're using our handbooks, they would know to come get an education, because you can't have government by consent. And let me repeat this 10,000 times. You cannot have government by consent if you don't know the law. And the law is very simple. It's common law. It's common sense. But you also have to know the Constitution. And you have to be able to see when they're breaking it, when not being obedient with it, and how to correct them. But you can't make a correction if you can't do that. And you can't be a jurist if you don't know the principles. If you don't know, you know, we wrote a handbook for specifically for grand jurists, specifically to fully informed grand jurists. We wrote one for petit jury, fully informed petit jurist. Okay, you read through that book, you are completely equipped. Lacking all of the knowledge is irrelevant. You are completely equipped to take that position and to make a judgment as a grand jurist or a trial jurist just by reading the handbooks. Okay? But our handbooks would be in opposition to the Juror Society. A lot of what we do is in opposition. We are oil and water. It cannot mix. We have no part of it. And if anybody creates a committee of safety and turns them into a juror as they're trying to connect with us, we will cut them away for the benefit and the safety of the other 3,000 plus committees of safety throughout America, because we cannot be connected to that. And we have to also have the basic setup, a framework. We've laid it all out. And again, we did not create the wheel. It's already been created for us. This is history. Anything we have written here, you find an abundance of footnotes. Every book, every handbook, every paper, every memorandum we write, we have footnotes where those authorities come from. And it all draws back into the law, every bit of it, all of it. So anyway, we cannot connect in any way with that particular group. We are looking for other groups, though, to connect with. We have to work together. United we stand, and divided we shall fall. And if the committees of safety do not come together to be able to work together and come together occasionally, maybe once, we're trying to set up once a month, in order to discuss national problems and issues and come up with ideas, and then each committee goes back to their full committees and discusses all these things, and they make the decision how they want to approach it. They may even come up with a different idea, but that's fine. They're doing something. You see, that's free. They're free and independent to do that. We can only suggest to them what they could do. We can help them find the best ideas that we can figure out at the time, and maybe someone else will come up with a better idea, and we will echo that too. We will send that through the whole system. Everybody needs to know what we can do, and people need to be able to go do it themselves. So, and if you're black, you're welcomed. If you're Hispanic, you're welcome. If you're Chinese or whatever, you're welcomed here. If you're a woman, you're welcomed here. Okay, doesn't look so much so on the other side. That threw me off really heavily. I was very surprised to see that there. I didn't expect to find that.
John, what about the idea that the Committee of Safety works within the structure of our government? Without the Committee of Safety, there is no Declaration of Independence, there's no Continental Congress, there's no Constitution. So the Committee of Safety works within our government. It is the foundation.
We are the government, and they're to be obedient to us. We the people ordained and established. You know, I just wrote a paper, which I think I'm going to try to share in one of these coming Mondays, and it makes that point to the judge and brings down to that point, you know, you don't make the law. This is not up to you. You don't have the power, the authority. We the people ordained and established that authority to the legislators, not to you. And by the way, we get to decide what goes on in this court. Okay, this is our decision. Guilty, innocent, whatever is necessary to restore that individual, you know, that's up to us. That's our job. It has nothing to do with any judge, elected official, anybody running around with a black cape and a hammer. I really don't care. You know, I'm just so fed up with it, to be honest with you. Totally fed up.
Amen to that. Yeah, they think they make law. It goes back to John Marshall, Jefferson's cousin.
They think they have the power to change law, and that's in the Bible. And it's not just to change law within the church. It's to change law in, you know, the city on the hill right here. This is God's country, ultimately. You know, we tried to do the best we could, didn't do a very good job, but he still has the offer, and he's still going to save us. There's going to be enough of a response by his children for him to heal the land. There's no doubt in my mind.
Amen. I think we've hit that point, and so he's already changing things. But the General Assembly is not using our structure. They're, from the anecdotes I've heard, they're just people who are saying, hey, we're 12 people, we're concerned citizens,
and we've decided to do this, but we already have our government. We have a Republican form of government. So what it looks like to me is an attempt to overthrow our government, which I would dissuade anyone from trying to be a part of that.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It is an overthrow of the government. At its extreme, and that's why I referred people, which I didn't want to read today, and I'm not going to. It's just I don't want to spend too much more time. But we laid out, where was it here? Go ahead, keep talking while I look for that. Go ahead.
Okay.
Disclaimers. I'm sorry, only a second. Disclaimers. Read these disclaimers. I mean, you know, look, we're not part of the sovereign citizen movement. We do not endorse the entertained fiction such as bills of exchange, redeeming and or discharging through trust accounts, nor do we involve ourselves with contracts, commercial liens, and the exchange of an oath for an office for value. We do not encourage or teach people to write declarations, drive without driver's license, and so on and so forth. People need to read this and then read the papers that we wrote concerning the assault upon National Liberty Alliance over the past and how we cut them off and put up these disclaimers, and we're open. You know, we talked about it when it happened. People knew what happened, and they understood, and we moved on. But I want to tell you something. We had people that went to jail, and this was Anna von Ritz who pulled this thing together in Colorado and tried to get National Liberty involved, which would bring me to treason to agree with them and go forward. And now I had to report it. I had no choice, and I did report it. I had no choice. I had to report it because otherwise they'd be banging down my door. They'd love to get rid of me, I think. But in any event, these people went to jail. I think it was about five of them. But there was a group of them went to jail. And one of the people died in jail. We also had people down in Florida that were doing this man on the land. Now, Anna von Ritz wasn't involved with that, to my knowledge. But it was movement, the sovereign citizen movement. I told them not to do these things. They were in court. They asked for paper writing. I said, look, I'll write some papers for you. I saw the papers they wrote. I said, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And what happened? This guy was in court. He was a foreman, appointed foreman, and he was called up by the judge, but he didn't respond because he wouldn't respond to his cap names. And the judge put out an order for arrest for the guy, and the guy stood up and said, no, here I am. They ignored him, came. I don't remember whether they tased him or not. But they handcuffed him, put him in jail, and that man died in jail also. He was an elderly guy. You see, this is dangerous stuff. These people are causing problems. We have a solution. And the solution is not going to be, our solution is not going to come before devolution is done. If devolution wasn't in play, we'd have to have a different plan, unfortunately. But devolution is in play. The plan is perfect. So, I'm sorry, go right back, Eric.
I'm glad you said every bit of that. So it is a problem. GR, there's a fellow named Paul Venable. He ran for, I think, Attorney General. No, not Attorney General. Might have been Secretary of State in Missouri. Then he ran for federal senator this past election cycle. He's very knowledgeable on the Constitution. He teaches it. This is a problem that I hear him bring up. He's dealing with it in Missouri, and it keeps coming up, these general assemblies, and it won't go away. And so the path to destruction is wide, and there's well populated. So this is a problem in a lot of places. But I wanted to say about the HOA to give some of these people some hope that are concerned with their HOA. We had Mary Ann. She came on here and discussed that, and she said some of the shenanigans that she witnessed is that the HOAs pulled these tricks that vitiated the original contract in the first place. So that would be one thing to look at for these people. Also, the second thing to look at for these people with their HOAs is, are they in a contract that is not lawful in accord to our law of the land? If that's the case, they can also get out of it that way with some effort and research, and probably on the other side, a devolution. And then I did want to tell you, I meant to bring this up, but it's on my mind right now. There's a lecture by a pastor called God and General Washington by Peter Lilback. I'll try to drop it into your Skype. It's this idea that Washington was a deist, and this guy, he slays this argument. He destroys it. He annihilates it. It's really fantastic. He goes into the definition of deist and how it changed a little from the 18th century to the 19th century, and he just destroys the argument. It's really fantastic. You should hear it. He talks about how Washington, in response to a friend's letter, how he wove in, and it seems like it was just stream of thought, how he wove in various parts of the Bible, and this pastor saying, he's like, I'm a pastor, and I'm not even sure if I could pull that off, discussing how godly Washington was in his mind. And then one more thing I came across, which really just struck me because of the things you were saying today. Listen to this. I don't know what this book is, but it's a picture of a book someone posted. And it says, and it's not that long, it says the New World Order will include changes in, one, the family. Homosexual marriages will be legalized. Parents will not be allowed to raise their children. The state will. All women will be employed by the state and not allowed to be homemakers. Divorce will be exceedingly easy, and monogamous marriage will be slowly phased out. This matches the Bible verse at the beginning. The workplace. The government will become the owner of all of the factors of production. The private ownership of property will be outlawed. Religion. Religion will be outlawed, and believers will be either eliminated or imprisoned. There will be a new religion, the worship of man and his mind. All will believe in the new religion. The United States will play a major role in bringing it, I think, to fruition. I can't read anymore. You can't see it anymore. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out, and I yield.
It's already done.
Okay, thank you. What was that?
I don't...
It's already been done. Everything that man said has already been done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Sean. Yeah, I see that you raised your hand raised, Sean. Go right ahead. Did you have a question or a comment or a correction or something?
Multiple things I'd say. The first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to warn you against Anna von Retz. She's been confronted in confrontation with her blood oath to the Vatican. She's proud of that.
We're very much familiar with that, yep.
Okay, that's a good step. Next thing I'm going to touch on is the social compact. I don't know how familiar you are with that. All nations, conduct, and behavior of sovereigns.
Yeah, that compact seemed to be connected somehow with the UN, and they claim also the military somehow. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, they redefine a lot of words.
Yeah, they make up a lot of stuff, too. And I'll tell you what, a lot of these people teaching that sovereign stuff and trying to tell people how to go into court and do certain things, you know, first of all, they're, most of them are liars. They don't have the success that they claim. You know, we do everything very, very... common law, how can I say that? We do it by the common law, but we also use the process, the procedures, the way that, you know, that the court system works. So we
very interested in what I've heard here tonight. Have a lot of intellectual property that's of extreme interest to me and to people that I've assembled with as well. So to further speak on what I'm trying to say here, foundation of a rightful government and people is in compact only. And that's not entered in restricted person. That's entered in the image of God's nature and nature's God. That's the dominion over its legislation. Without that, you have no republic, you have no rightful government, you have no. Article 1, Maryland, state constitution. You might want to look at that. There's seven other constitutions still today that speaks of the compact. You might want to take a close look at the law of nations, conduct and behavior of sovereigns.
We're very much in agreement that the Constitution is a compact between the states.
I'm not. The compact cannot be solely within a Constitution. If it is, it can only be referred to as the unwritten Constitution in law.
I'm sorry, say that again. I missed
that. If a compact is said to be solely contained within a constitution, it can only be referred to as the unwritten constitution.
Well, let me expound a little bit. The Constitution is ordained, established by we the people. Okay, but the coming together was a compact.
You're moving real fast, sir.
Huh?
You're moving really fast. First, I would like to ask you to define who the people are in that constitution.
We the people, you, me, everybody, ultimately. They spoke on behalf of their posterity as much as on behalf
Where is it the honor to be a party to that Constitution today?
That's my inheritance.
This is not a law of nations. Well, it is not something derived by nature. It requires the human action, to wit, social compact.
I'm not sure what the conclusion of your thought is here. Are you claiming that we have to renew this somehow, or that we don't have, we are not the ordainers and the establisher? You know, bear in mind, we ordain and establish through government by consent, through the people.
It takes a permanent population currency. takes a current population of a people that's founded in compact in order to ordain something that you say exists right now.
No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work.
The principle of the whole thing rests on the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was a covenant with God. And it's
it was a separation of power.
What separation of power?
It was a declaration separating power, severing political ties. The compacts of the people of the sovereign state, that was the establishment of peoples of God's nation.
What are they separating? You're saying that the declaration or something is separating powers? What powers are they separating?
From Britain. Separated powers from Britain.
Of course, because we established a new government, but it is a covenant with God. We asked God for his blessings. We asked God for his liberty to live under his law, and in return we receive his blessings. As a matter of fact, one of there are six requirements of government. Whenever they do something, they have to at least uphold one of these 6 points, and it's in the.
Our covenant with God is the New Testament of the Holy Bible.
Hold on, it's the preamble to the Constitution. And one of those 6 points is to secure the blessings of liberty. And that's what we're built upon. That's it, God's law. That's what we agreed upon. That's what the Founding Fathers came together, agreed upon. The states ultimately agreed upon it, and they did it for themselves and their posterity. It was the greatest act of love and care and concern for themselves and for,
all of that's true.
And for their children and their posterity. So
all of that is true.
But we all have inherited that, and you cannot break, because it started off with a covenant with God. It's an impossibility to break. You break that covenant, or try to break that government, that covenant, and you got to be met by the wrath of God, and that's about to come down. That's where we're at. We're at that point in time, the wrath of God upon nations.
We are
the world order upon Leviathan.
We are. The devolution is here. You're absolutely correct about that.
Well, I don't know. What is the disagreement? If we have a disagreement, make the point clear, though.
Clearly, without the compact, there is no permanent population of a people. You cannot claim that you're the people if you have no compact.
So without the compact, who's saying there's no compact? You?
I know there is compact because I'm one of the first founders of a compact.
Well, look, our founding fathers put together the compact, the bottom line.
Modern. Let me correct myself. Modern compact.
Well, there's nothing to add to the Constitution. I mean, maybe we can find something, but look, before we try to add anything else, I think we should exercise and use what we have first and then discover what we might lack. And there might be some...
First must be the people, sir. You must first be the people. To have authority and dominion over your legislation, you must first be the people. You must establish your delegate and lawfully send them.
That's why we elect representatives to make equity, to make law in equity, and not law per se that controls you or me, but law that controls commercial activities and government agent activities and agents.
Lawful delegates are established through the compact in natural identity, not restricted in person.
Say that again. I didn't get that.
You cannot obtain lawful consent by the process of a threatening party.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Law was here before man. Contract only changes the way law applies to the parties to the contract, property within, and only administered from within.
Did not we, the people, give authority to the legislators to make law under 17 points, 18 points ultimately, under Article 1? Did we not do that?
I wasn't here then. And I've never gave authority for what's called 1789 or 1871.
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. If you don't like it, you can leave the country.
That's the thing. You were born into this.
I've left the United States, which is not derived of a nation.
I don't understand.
By the creation of another person, Title 42, any other person. Reference.
What's the conclusion of where you're heading to here? What's your conclusion?
The conclusion is being a people, a natural people under God first. That's the conclusion.
I think I mentioned that at least 3 or 4 times when I was talking. But
that's then, only founded in compact. It's not founded in any other document.
Yeah, but you still have a...
I'll refer you again to Article 1, State of Maryland Constitution, which still states clearly, rightful government and people are founded in compact only. It didn't say if, maybe, except, or there's exemption. Nothing well, like that.
That the question is who's the compact between? The compact was between the states in the beginning. It was 13.
That's not a compact. If it's between delegates, if it's between governments, it's a contract. Well, it's not a compact.
Whoa. I didn't say it was between the governments. No, not at all. But it's the people of the states. The states came together, but they initiated the fact by the will of the people. We the people, if you read the Constitution, we the people ordained and established this Constitution.
Yeah, but, maybe they did, but how are you a part of it today if you're not in contact?
Do you disagree with this?
No, I did not.
Then
what I'm trying to point out is very evident fact.
No, there is a process.
Meeting of the mind, in fact, finding, sir.
There is a process if something needs correction in the Constitution that it could be made. There is
correct.
A process for that. And, of course, it's got to be debated.
And you can't miss none of it.
Right. So we are part of the process. I am thankful that our founding fathers did the due diligence.
I am too. Yes, sir.
They discovered, put together what they discovered and paid it with their own blood and their property. I mean, they put everything on the line for this, and we're thankful for this. And I don't have a problem with what they put together. And if we
I would die for it today.
Okay. So I don't understand why we're talking
because I don't see the compact in your organization. I'm not here to destroy or attack. I'm here to strengthen.
All right, so our organization has to have a compact?
The AFR has a compact, and you have the right as individual sovereign states to be independent and compact, equal.
Stop. I'm going to ask some questions. If we can't have a conversation, then we'll have to move to someone else. But I'm going to ask some questions here. You're saying that NLA should have a compact. That's what I think you're saying.
I'm saying the individual sovereign state should have a compact.
Well, I'm not involved with that. We're just look at the purpose of NLA is to educate, help to organize, and help to help them to be educated and form committees of safety. Okay, ultimately that's what our goal is, and we're not here to tell anyone what to do. We just did research.
I'm not here either.
We laid out a handbook on how to create a committee of safety, well researched out, you know, put logic together where it was necessary and make an add to it. We put everything together necessary for people to have self-government and the knowledge to have it. And it's up to the people to do it. Now, we don't have a contract. The Constitution is not a contract. It's a compact. Okay.
No, sir. That's in restricted person. That's only between delegates.
And what do you tell them? What is the Constitution then?
The Constitution is a contract between delegates.
Well, that's not true at all. Not at all.
Why
no.
is it not true? They're in restricted person. They're not in God's image. In fact, they're not permitted to take any action in their own behalf.
God's image. Okay. Well, look at we the people here, then we have to get rid of this. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. They, on our behalf, our founding fathers did this on the behalf of the people. This was not on the behalf of the states, but the states came together. The colonies came together for the people to come together, and they did it in a formal way to come together, and they decided it is the people. If you go to the Federalist Movement and you join the Federalist, and what's his name, Judge Napolitano is this, he made this point, these people believe that the Constitution is an error in the preamble, and it shouldn't say we the people, it should say we the states. That's what
they redefined the people. They redefined the people. The man who wrote the Constitution and the Constitutional Convention first wrote it as we the people of the states and changed the words to we the people of the United States, redefining who the people was.
All right.
I'm asking you nicely to take into consideration what I'm saying.
But I don't even know what point you're really trying to make. I really don't.
You don't know what, sir?
I don't know what point you're really trying to make or what correction you're trying to offer us. I don't know.
I'm trying to offer the compact to be taken in consideration, be in natural identity, not in restricted person, to learn that it must actually include the collective people, collective population in natural identity. But don't, it's not a compact.
Well,
I've got tons of evidence to show what I'm bringing forward.
I don't understand how we can accomplish what you're trying to say. I don't even understand it. And does anyone, Gerard, do you understand what he's saying or anybody else here?
Yeah, I have an idea, but here's the thing.
We have a representative form of government. You're not going to be able to get everyone in a room, all 335 million of us.
And
how are you going to pull it off?
It gives them the ability to enter to be the people. If they choose not, then they're inhabitants.
That creates a democracy. We're not a democracy.
No, we're not a democracy. We're a republic. The nation was founded on a republic. There's also a democracy in D.C.
Hold on. I understand that, and that's the fraud of the whole thing. But the bottom line is we are a natural law republic, the only nation in the world.
Correct.
The only first one before us was Israel. We're the second nation in the world ever to become a natural law republic. We're built upon the law, and that's the key. You can have
founded in compact only.
You can have 99.999% of the people want to do one thing, but the law will protect that one that is 0.0001. That person is protected by the law, period.
That's a republic, correct.
That's who we are. That's what we are. As far as choosing our people, well, it makes sense to pop.
No, I don't choose them, sir. They choose for themselves. I can't be a people for you. I can't choose for you.
You're just playing with words at this point, in my opinion, because let's get to the bottom line. We elect people, okay? You want to vote, you vote. You don't want to vote, you don't vote. We should elect people who are morally minded. That's hard to find when we're talking about politicians, and that's the problem. We don't have statesmen. And as long as
I'm a statesman, sir. I am a lawful statesman.
As long as we have parties, we will have politicians. And until we get rid of parties, we will have very few statesmen. Very, very few, okay?
You're correct. They're far and few between.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't know what else you might want to bring up, because I don't really know where you're driving.
The first thing I will do in ending this conversation is this. I'm not here to attack. I'm here to assist and lawful counsel to bring authority and law to your works. Something I cannot do for you, must you do yourself, or it will not happen. You'll stand divided in their eyes under laws of nations and conduct and behavior of sovereign. I'm going to introduce something for you to look at our work and just think about it with a neutral mind to have an educated decision. And I'll come back in here again next Monday. And that website is theafr.org, theafr.org.
What is it that we're lacking, though?
You're lacking the compact, sir.
Why do we need the compact?
Because that's the only document if you let me finish the answer, I'll give you one.
How do I become part of that compact, and what's required of me?
You would agree to enter in natural identity, that you're equal to the others in compact, that you agree to the elements of the people, to stand in what's known as peace and defend that peace.
Okay, I'm a human being born, my heart is beating. And that's all I need. I need nothing else. I need no agreement with nobody. I'm born as a natural born.
In your eyes, then you'll be found, in their eyes, in governments of men, you'll be found to be a divided inhabitant without political rights to defense. Although you may participate in the society and you may receive some of the benefits, but you will not receive all. That's the way it works under a social contract, Treaty of Paris. That's where you'll remain until you take the action of compact.
All of this sounds alien to me, and it sounds like there's things I have to do.
Sure does. So, it takes a lot of work to have the comprehension.
Hold on a minute, okay? The bottom line is this. We the people ordained and established the Constitution. Our founding
fathers, they redefined who the people were.
Our founding fathers, on our behalf, did a great service for us, okay? And they did it for themselves and their posterity. So we are the beneficiaries of this whole thing. And all we have to do is live a decent life and uphold the Constitution by requiring people that we put into office to obey the Constitution. That's how we uphold it, okay? And if we don't do that, then we lose.
Don't go any place where I'm silent.
Haven't been able, but you keep interrupting me. But we haven't been able do that, and that's what we're trying to teach the people.
Don't silence me. Good night. I don't do that.
You can have your mic back whenever you want after I finish speaking. Okay. All right. Well, he's gone. All right. Is there anybody else that has anything? I know we didn't open the queue, but you can raise your hand or just unmute yourself, because everybody's just on mute. Anybody has a comment or anything else to add here?
Hey, John, I have a question in regard to the memorandum of law that you just went over. Yeah. Where would I get a copy of that? Is that in government by consent?
Well, if you come to educate, not there. Hold on. Yeah, if you come to our front page, okay. Are you able to see, or you're on a phone?
Okay, I want to get a copy of that 16 pages.
Are you able to see the desktop, or you're on a phone just, or what?
Yeah, I'm on my desktop.
Okay. All right, so if you come here to the front page and you scroll down a wee bit, you'll see, let's see where we put this. Click here to read writ mandamus to the United States Supreme Court. This was filed on February 2nd.
Oh, okay, good.
If you click on that, okay, we have it. We have it read out. You can listen to it.
Okay, good.
You're better off reading it. If you click on reading it and you click on this, it is quite long, so you'll have to come back in a few readings maybe. It's 232 pages. And in here is the memorandum that I just read. And it is listed in the very beginning on a table of contents. Here's a table of contents. And you'll find the attachments is the memorandums of law. And the memorandum of law that we just read let me see if I can find this, Family Court, Habeas Corpus. Here it is, Engle versus Vitale.
Okay, good. Okay.
Hey. 16 pages, so.
Also, John, thank you very much for your book on government by consent. It's great.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Hey, can you hear me, John?
You can now.
Oh, boy, I've been yelling. Listen, that fellow that left, I don't know what his name was, but maybe somebody can write his website now. It is afr.com. I wanted to say.
It was Governor Sean Girard. I think John offended him.
What's that?
It was Governor Sean, and I think John offended the governor by muting him. But anyway, please, go on.
Seems to me he's going back to that age-old argument that we're not sovereign because what they did, the judiciary action, they put us in the corporation. And this is his answer for us being in that corporation. Now he wants us to do a compact that declares us. Well, that whole thing that put us in there was fraud to begin with. He's given credibility to the fraud is the way I see it.
You got a good point there.
You know?
It was too complex. I don't even know what he was talking about, to be honest with you. I mean, all these people have all these hoops to jump through when we don't have to. We already have everything. We have our rights are unalienable, given to us by God, and we have the covenant that started this whole thing, and we have the Constitution, which controls our government, and all we have to do is start monitoring them and doing the business of the people, removing these people when they don't obey. Putting good people into office and get rid of all this nonsense of two parties, three parties, whatever parties, because parties are destructive and don't work with republics. End of subject on that one.
But again, he's given credibility to the fraud of the corporation that they put us in.
Good point on that, no doubt.
And that's what I see. I wish I would have been able to get in there and question him on that, but I think that's the bottom line here. You know, everybody feels like they have to scrape this rash off of them being a fiction, you know, and I think that this is what comes out of that. So anyway, I just wanted to say.
He also spoke with certain terms and certain language that, you know, didn't connect in my mind with what he was saying, you know, so there's certain requirements of looking into certain things and studying certain things at least a little bit to understand the terms and everything he was using and the idea of what he meant by a compact and why I must get involved in something like that. You know, that's what the Jural Society does, Jural Assembly does anyways. They have a compact.
Yes, it's very similar language to that. Also, Law of Nations, I don't really care about any Law of Nations.
Well,
there's only five common Law of Nations, and if you're not talking about those, other than maybe Germany and Switzerland, which used to have very Christian roots, other than that, I don't really care, and I yield.
Listen, a Jural Society is just a group of people that get together, set up a method, when to raise your hand, how to do this, and come to an agreement. It has nothing to do with the laws of God. Never mind,
they call themselves a general assembly. And I think they have something to do with being a jurist, as the jurist now. I guess that's maybe the place where they draw the jurist from, maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked deep enough into it, nor am I interested anymore, because their foundation is flawed. So there's no sense in going any further in it.
But it all gets back to what the fundamentals of law are, whether you are under common law or you're under that Roman civil law. That discussion that we had on PSB, the guy laid it out very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is all coming out of. He's trying to fix that part where they put us under that Roman civil law. Well, you're giving them credibility by going through all this voodoo to get out of it when they had no right to put us in the first place.
Well, if we allowed him to expand further and get deeper, maybe we would find that he lays out everything that the sovereign citizens lay out, that some of the solution is getting rid of your, you know, voting ability and getting rid of...
I mean, I understand how they can go there. I understand why they go there.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Right, but like you say, it only gives them credibility.
Right. Look, it was our system. It wasn't their system. So let's take our system back. Why replace it with something else and take extra oaths and, you know, declare ourselves this and that when our forefathers did all that for us?
They're in his National Liberty Alliance.
So, anyway, that's what I got out of it, anyway.
All right, well, anyway, in the finale of the thinking, anyway, you and we do want to connect with any organization that is compatible with us. I mean, we have to agree on the fundamentals, the foundation. If we agree there, we can differ other places, that's fine. You know,
did anybody get a good website?
Say that again?
Did anybody get the website?
I think it's AFR.com. Am I right or wrong?
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
I want to go look at it, just to...
What is it? I'll try to put it up on the board here. What's the website?
I think it was AFR.com, if I heard right.
AFR.com.
I heard
for correction and not to listen. We're open for correction, but you got to listen first before you correct.
I heard .org.
.org?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try... AFR.org, then.
And that's some kind of American Family Radio.
AFR.org goes to the same place, some kind of financial review. So you probably heard it wrong. But it's probably around the 10:30 mark, as far as time is concerned, which would be a little more than 2.5 hours in.
Okay.
Towards the end of our program, so... All right, anybody else have anything before we're going to close down in a minute? Any final points or statements?
Nope.
Okay, well, we're going to close down. Thanks, everybody, for coming. And listen, remember, we're going to have another special meeting on the first Monday of the month. We're going to try to bring together as many committees of safeties as we can to come in to start making the connection for the purpose of their education. Extremely important. And just so that everybody knows, under the Starter Committee of Safety, coming down just two steps, you'll hit National Monthly Meeting. We did post the last meeting, the first meeting we had here, and we also laid out issues for discussion. You know, we're just trying to stimulate these people into things to start thinking about. And I'm sure they got their own ideas, and people will have their own things that they think are more important than this and that. But what we really are trying to do is not only educate the people, but to make the point that the first order of business ultimately must be two things: National Liberty Alliance to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is working on the first one, which is dealing with the courts to bring back natural law again and to get rid of the Bar Association. And the thing that the Committees of Safety first and foremost needs to really be working on, other than education and connecting with each other, they need to be working on our school problem. We need to save our children. We're losing too many generations. We've already lost I don't know how many generations. And these young children that have been growing up in schools now the last 4 years, are totally being destroyed, demoralized, sexualized. We need to save these children. And also at the same time, which is a good work to do at the same time, but at the same time, we will be building and fortifying our committees of safety, because through that, parents and other people in the communities will discover us and attach themselves to us and work together in the subcommittees to take it all back. And that's how we got to do it. Now, again, people are free to do whatever they want, but we strongly suggest to follow that route. And I believe it's all written up that way in our handbook. So, okay, I guess that's it for the night. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Good night, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.